Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Game decider, Mariota, inside the corner, touchdown! Going for two and the win. Washington will roll the dice. Washington for the win. Mariota has it rejected by Bonino! And Denver has won 9 in a row!
Nick Bonito, you son of a gun. What a game it was last Sunday night. And we can only hope the Commanders will do the same tomorrow in Minnesota, as Jaden Daniels is back, baby. You gotta love it. Welcome to Sports Saturday, midday edition. Yours truly, Steve Zabin with you. Thank you for joining me. If you're running around today, holiday cheer to you. And please be patient out on the roads and in the parking lots. So that was the final play as Nick Bonito timed his jump perfectly to spoil what would have been an epic walk-in touchdown, walk-in two-point conversion following the McLaurin touchdown catch to rally the Commanders past a Bronco team that improved to 10-2, but I still think many people are dying to fade them come January. Not a bad team, but just they're not as good as their record says they are. And that's the old saying from Bill Parcells. You're only as good as your record says you are. Yeah, sort of, but not always. The Commanders' record is 3-9, and the close loss tickled some people in that it was a good outing with a lot of positive to take away from it, and yet they didn't accumulate a meaningless win that would knock them further down the draft order come springtime. I understand that sentiment, but I'm here to tell you one or two things. First of all, you only really, really need to be 1/1 when you're looking for a quarterback, and there's one QB that is clearly head and shoulders above the rest. Yeah, you'd like to be higher, obviously. 2 versus 3 and 3 versus 4 can definitely matter in terms of a generational talent, but there's not as much of a drop-off. So, number one, the team's not in the market for another quarterback, so that's good. Secondly, I just don't think that it's good necessarily to lose a lot down the stretch. I don't mind a few wins down the stretch. With a 7-game losing streak staring this team in the face, they need some good vibes, some positivity. And honestly, against this Viking team now with J.J. McCarthy back under center, if they don't win, and they are 1.5-point favorites, if they don't win, it's going to be kind of an embarrassment. It's a wild line, by the way. Commanders at 3-9 are favored. How many 3-9 teams do you know that are typically favored in an NFL game against anybody? And they're favored on the road against a team with one more win than they have. The Vikings are 4-8, but they've got bigger problems with McCarthy. Trust me, as a Commander fan, you are so happy you're not over on their side of the field, the Vikings, this Sunday. Because they're not only facing a genuine crisis at quarterback where they don't know what they're going to do now. Deep down, they know that J.J. McCarthy ain't that dude. And there's not really anyone they could possibly go get in this year's draft, at least according to the early mocks, that would make them say, okay, if we can just tank a bit, trade up, mortgage our future just a bit, we could get this guy. That doesn't exist. The Vikings took a massive swing, and it looks like a miss at quarterback, and it's going to set them back several years. Also, they have to get a new GM because Kwesi Adolfo Mensah is not exactly lighting it on fire up there. Their drafts have been bad. So the Commanders are in a good spot for tomorrow. 1.5-point favorites in Minnesota as Jaden Daniels is back. Here's the biggest question I have, and I'll throw it out there if anyone wants to jump in and talk about it. So what do you want to see? What do you want to see? Because everyone's like saying, well, there's five games left. You got to let him play. He needs the work. He needs the reps. He's not a finished product. And I understand all that, but I come at it from a very biased perspective on Jaden Daniels. I'm not objective or level-headed. I'm over the moon about the guy. I think he is everything that Robert was not as a quarterback. I think he is pass first. I think he has sublime sort of reading abilities of seeing where guys are going to be open. I believe that he has accuracy that is way beyond what RG3 ever had, and they don't run a gimmicky offense to get him to throw the way he does. He can run, and he does run, and he will run, but Daniels, to me, is what I call an escape quarterback, meaning he'll sit in the pocket as long as he can to hurt you with his arm and accuracy, which he can and will do. But when he escapes, look out. He will punish you because he runs like the wind. So slippery, so fluid, so good. He's not a true run-pass combo quarterback, and he would not be what I call an extend-a-play quarterback like, say, Baker Mayfield, where you're whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop just trying to run around behind the line of scrimmage to buy more time for an off-schedule pass. Daniels is a devastating escape quarterback who throws the ball exceptionally well, sees the field exceptionally well, yes, could still use some more development and seasoning if he doesn't get hurt. Hear that knock on wood? And I will watch these games with perhaps one hand and my fingers forming a slit over one eye out of nervousness that he does not get further hurt. Now, they say that the decision to play was a, quote, group decision. This according to John Kimes reporting on ESPN.com. And yes, whenever there's a big decision that might go horribly wrong, God forbid, you want to be in a group. You don't want any one person out there going, well, I'm the one that said that this has to happen. Daniels himself says he wants to play. And I get that. You wouldn't make it to this level if you didn't have that competitor's fire. And he'll have a new quarterback coach in his ear and on the sideline for him as David Blau. Ba-bow! The former Detroit Lion, David Blau, has taken over the reins as quarterback coach since the Commanders lost their quarterback coach to the Stanford Cardinal. And so Blau is going to help bring Daniels back. Noah Brown is due back tomorrow as well, barring anything unforeseen. That's wonderful. McLaurin came back and looked nicey last week. So you've got all your assets now in place like you had intended to start the season, which is why when you look at Jaden Daniels' numbers for this year, they're off a bit, at least in terms of completions, from his rookie year. He's a 62.5% guy this year in six games versus 69% last year. His touchdowns to INTs passing last year, 25 over 9. This year, 8 over 2. That comes out actually a little bit better because, let's see, times 3 is 24. That'd be 6. Carry the 1. Divide by pi. Stop doing math. It's bad for you. Okay. Downs to INTs. A little bit off on completion percentage. But again, I'm going to give you the completely biased JD5 Stan opinion, and that is he didn't have the necessary assets for the games he played this year. In fact, he and McLaurin, other than the first two games of the year, the Giants game and the Packer game, were two ships passing in the night. When McLaurin went out, Daniels was still there. By the time McLaurin came back, Daniels was gone. And so now we get to see what kind of music they make down the stretch. This Vikings defense, though, is nasty. You've got the Brian Flores and his scheme, very tricky to decipher. It'll be a great mental test for Daniels. And so you can't expect them to just roll up and down the field against Minnesota, but you're playing J.J. McCarthy. You force a couple turnovers. This defense is better with Quinn on the call sheet, and I never thought that would be the case. I laughed when they said, well, he's going to call the plays now. And I'm like, so what? Joe Witt didn't have the right play calls? Apparently not. At least not from what we've seen. I mean, this was a defense walking backwards from the last game where Joe Witt held the play card, or the call sheet, I guess, would be the better term on defense. They allowed 44, 38, 28, and 44 points in the four games prior to this change. Woof. In the two games since, 27 and 16. A marked improvement. And the eye test just says they're playing way better on defense. So tomorrow in Minnesota, Commanders -1.5. Jaden Daniels is back. That is wonderful news. To college football, we're going to talk to Tim Brando in just a second. I had a chance to buttonhole him yesterday before he's calling a basketball game this afternoon, but I talked to him yesterday in his car service, which got a flat tire on the side of the road. It was perfect timing, about the college football expanded playoffs turning into expanded controversy. And this is a pivotal day. Already we got BYU and Texas Tech underway. I'm going to turn the TV on to make sure to keep one eye on that. But you got four games today. And even though you've got 12 teams in the playoffs, it has not solved or tamped down any arguing, any controversy, or any unhappiness with many people around the country. In fact, BYU didn't like the fact that ESPN in their graphic and on SportsCenter said, well, we'll see if BYU can upset Texas Tech today and steal a bid from Miami or Notre Dame. BYU is like, steal a bid? We're not worthy? We wouldn't have earned it? Who says it's Miami or Notre Dame's bid to begin with? I know, they're technically ranked in the last college football playoff ranking ahead of BYU, so technically I guess you could call it stealing, but that's the kind of sensitivity that's going on right now. All these schools just want to get into the 12-team playoff, even if they know deep down they're not winning three games to hoist the national championship trophy. They just want in. And that includes JMU. Would love to get in. They're going to root for a Duke miracle tonight in Charlotte, 8 o'clock ABC. Virginia -4 against 5-loss Duke. Are you kidding me? This is the weirdest wrinkle I think I can remember in the college football final week of the season in just about forever, that you've got a conference that already has a seat at the table set aside for them, the ACC, and they're about to fumble the bag if the wrong result happens tonight. Virginia has already thrashed Duke once this year. They should do it again. Should, I said, but it's sports. Sometimes should doesn't work out like you think. So that is the anchor game tonight opposite Indiana, Ohio State, 1-2. A game that may happen again in a matter of a month. Buckeyes are -4. Game is, of course, at a neutral site. It's at Lucas Oil in Indianapolis. The SEC title game, Georgia, Alabama, 4 o'clock on ABC. That'll be at the Mercedes-Benz Dome. Georgia, -1.5. Many are saying if Alabama doesn't win, they should be out. That'll be tough, though, because they've already beaten Georgia once. Alabama would have 3 losses. And then BYU is going to try to get in against Texas Tech. Texas Tech, a 12.5-point favorite right now at AT&T Stadium. Those are your four games tonight. The other team that at least kept themselves viable to maybe slip in is JMU. They beat Troy last night to win the Sun Belt, 31-14 down there in Harrisonburg, where AD Matt Roan had to plead on the PA system, stop throwing snowballs, please. The poor band got pelted early on. There's about an inch and a half of snow down there in Harrisonburg. Band got pelted early on. Troy's running back, Tay Meadows, got pelted after a touchdown. That's when Roan got on the PA system and said, knock it off. Not as good as the infamous Sam Weish, where he said, anyone who throws a snowball, report them, get them out of here. You live in Cincinnati, you don't live in Cleveland. And the crowd went nuts. JMU beat Troy 31-14 to improve to 12-1. To finish 12-1 on the season, they were 7-0 at home this year. Wayne Knight had a monster game for the Dukes, 212 yards on the ground, including a 73-yard scamper. Alonzo Barnett, the third, who's probably the player of the year in the conference, not probably is, was great last night. And Bob Chesney, who's going to go to UCLA as their coach, could stay on to coach in the bowl game or in the college football playoff. As of last night, there was discussions about what they were going to do. So not every divorce between a coach and a program has to be messy. Lane Kiffin, who was on College Game Day today. I didn't see any of the interview. I was out getting a Christmas tree, but I'm sure it was full of backslapping and guffawing as all of the men in suits being paid handsomely, represented by Creative Artists Agency out in L.A., CAA, the powerhouse agency. So I doubt that Lane Kiffin got grilled today on College Game Day, but if he did, let me know. All right, coming up, more on the football situation that we currently find ourselves in. We'll talk to Tim Brando of Fox Sports, a guy who has long been known as one of the voices that matter in college football. You're listening to Sports Saturday on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We're back, Sports Saturday, here on The Fan with the Zabe. Steve Zabin here. can hit me up on Twitter at Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. No score, BYU and Texas Tech right now as they approach the just under the nine-minute mark of the first half. Oh, here's a razzle-dazzle play. A little reverse handoff flea flicker that goes for an incompletion. Nice try. Did not work. Tim Brando is a name synonymous with college football. For years, you saw him on the main studio desk at CBS, and he has seen the evolution of college football from the bad old archaic days of voting for champions, and sometimes multiple national champions where, well, the AP says Oklahoma's your national champion, but the UPI says that it's Notre Dame or whatever. That evolved to the much-hated BCS, and all of the computer nerd indexes. That led to the 4-team playoff. That has now led to a 12-team playoff, maybe 16 next year. They've got a vote coming up in January about that. And the funny thing is, it seemingly has left everybody even more unhappy. You know, the biggest misconception was, if we just add more teams, we'll have less controversy. Well, like no, the saying no, goes, no, mo money, mo problems. I know, but a lot of people thought that. Mo money, mo problems, mo teams, more controversy. Mm-hmm. How do we get untangled from this? Because this is an all-time year for whoops. Didn't think that would happen.
Yeah. Athletic director that's put in charge of being the spokesperson for it gets involved in a heavy-duty controversy at Baylor, of all places, like they needed to have that happen again. And then Hunter Yurecek, who stood before a quarterback club in Little Rock, Arkansas, and told everyone that they did not have the financial means to compete in football any longer in the NIL portal era. Go figure. That's who the spokesperson is for.
It's not
for
good.
Football playoffs.
It's not good.
That's who replaced Mac Rhodes. It's the whole season and everything about all that's not on the field. Now, Zabes, you know I love college football. No one loves it more. But I have loathed its postseason since the beginning of time. And it just gets increasingly worse with every passing year, and everybody plays a role in it.
You never liked any part of the postseason, even going back to the bad old days of the AP and the UPI voting?
Yeah, I thought it was, I hated it.
Really?
I hated it. Now, and you know, Bino and I used to have fights about it on the original game day. Oh, Bradshaw, it's college. So what if there are two national titles? So what? It's college. And I'm like, Bino, no, this is not, it's not the American way. This is like, where are we here? Is this the battle for the Swedish Cup? What the hell are you talking about? So my generation, your generation, okay, we were raised to have teams play off for a championship, and we didn't have it for a long time. We had the UPI and the AP deciding who the national champions were before the bowls were even played. In our lifetime.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, is it better now than it was then? Yeah. But, I mean, the issue is now the sport is flourishing more financially than it ever has. Every damn game is televised now, not just the two or three that ABC decides to put on. Thank God the Supreme Court ruling went the way it did in 1984. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had this incredible boom of college football on television in the 80s, which I was very much a part of. After that 84 lawsuit, I started working at ESPN in 85, and game day came along in 87. The rest is history. But still, the people that should be in charge are doing a terrible job, and the interwoven issues from the NCAA, even though they have no jurisdiction financially in the sport and have it since 1984, they still managed to screw it up. They're the ones that set the portal date. They're the ones that set the national signing date. Why the hell are they involved in any way, shape, fashion, or form? They shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. They have no financial stake in the matter.
Yeah.
The people that are in governance, people that I know and like and respect, or they can't get together because of what? Hubris. They, you know, they can't get together and decide on any compromise because of their own egocentric approach. And I've told people this many times, oh, Brando, you're just a blowhard. You think you're this, you're that. I'll tell you something, Zabes. You've been in our business for a long time. You show me a guy that is on the air that has an ego, and I'll show you a guy that's responsible for him being on the air that's got an ego twice the size of yours, mine, and anybody else that he put on the air. Okay? We've got executives that have absolutely gotten in their own way each and every year and can't come to any decisions without what? Seeking help from where? Congress? Yeah, like that's a smart move. As independent businessmen, people that are in charge of a multi-billion dollar business, we have seen guys just take the sport into the absolute crapper because they've only been concerned about their own.
Right.
Their little pool of teams. And those little pool of teams that are worth this much money in one conference and this much money in another conference and a little less in the next two, they can't come to terms on anything. And now, you know, the very people that are financing this thing, which is, you know, the people I work for in the television business, we have found a way to only make it worse. And when I say make it worse, I mean by the standpoint of getting involved and gerrymandering a system so that when you start trying to quote unquote select teams, which we shouldn't be doing, these bids should be earned. They shouldn't be selected. They should be earned. And they're not earned.
Right.
We're having people select. And now you have one network, okay? NBC, CBS, now TNT, and the company I work for, Fox, are all involved in college football. Okay, we're all involved. But only one network has the monopoly on the college football playoff. And oh, by the way, right, the bidding process didn't even take place. There were no bids for the rights to college football in its last TV deal. It was just a wink and a nod, and ESPN, you got it, roll with it. Okay.
Really?
There was no bidding. There was no bidding process.
Why Fox wouldn't they do that?
To bid. CBS didn't. Nobody bid. It was a wink and a nod, and ESPN got it. So what are they doing? They're taking care of their constituents, yeah, which are the Southeastern Conference constituents, first and foremost. Brand names always. Brand names right. always. So when you see Alabama slip past Alabama slipped past Notre Dame in last week's college football, you know, the last standings,
right,
okay, before tomorrow's. You see Alabama get past Notre Dame, but you don't see Miami get past Notre Dame. Now, why do you suppose that happens? I'll tell you. Alabama not only could have, but probably should have lost to Auburn, moved up over Notre Dame, so they could secure that Alabama still gets in the playoff regardless of the outcome of this afternoon's game with Georgia. Alabama can now comfortably go into that game knowing, even if we lose, unless we get blown out, we're in. We're in. So you can't have this party without Alabama being in it. They know, and it's all about byproduct of screwing over Alabama last year when SMU got in and Alabama didn't. This committee is just knee-jerk reacting each year to whatever the problem was the year preceding, okay? And it's been this way since the playoffs started. In 2014, the very first year, Zaves, very first year, we had TCU and Baylor that were tied in a conference that didn't have a quote-unquote championship game at that time, the Big 12. And TCU was number three in the country. They played Iowa State in the last game of the season, the same day as the title games were played everywhere else. They won something like 49-6. But Ohio State, who was ranked eighth in the preceding week's poll, beats Wisconsin 59-0 in the Big Ten title game. They jump from number eight to number four. And TCU drops from number three to number six and is out of the poll. Why? Ohio State is Ohio State. They are a brand. Yep. They are the Alabama of the Big Ten. By God, can't have this playoff without Ohio State. So it's not just about the SEC, but it's about all brand names, which they believe, they being the television people that have the monopoly over this, they want the biggest programs that they know will bring more eyeballs to the television sets for the college football playoff.
Right.
And it's wrong. It is fundamentally wrong. And television needs to take its fair share of the responsibility for helping screw this up.
Yeah,
the ADs have done it. The conference commissioners have done it. But by God, so too has my business, and it makes me sick to have to say it.
Yeah. I tried to explain it on a group chat. I said, Notre Dame's a brand, and this is a TV show. Don't you understand that? Like, they're not running a championship or a tournament. They're putting a TV show on.
These Tuesday night shows that we have starting in October are just, I mean, they're just an exercise in futility.
I think they're, Tim, I think they're worse than that. I think they're actually counterproductive now because people are taking them seriously when they shouldn't.
Yeah.
And they're tracking the things that are being said, and they're realizing just how full of hooey these guys are. So it's counterproductive. Yeah. If I was me, I'd cancel all that stuff. So at least you wouldn't take the pot shots. But again, it's a TV product that they sell ads into. So of course they're going to do it. So I got to hone in on the ACC situation. Do you think if Duke pulls the upset that the ACC will in fact be left out of the dance?
I think they'll do everything in their power to allow Miami and at large to save face. If Duke wins that game against Virginia, I think if Virginia wins, I think Miami is probably going to be left out because Notre Dame will get in. And
so
I don't see any movement. I don't see any movement where any chance. And they got another problem with BYU and Texas Tech. Were BYU to upset Texas Tech, I think that becomes problematic as well.
Okay, but start with
that could force Notre Dame. That could force them into a real pigeonhole with Notre Dame.
Okay,
to happen, but
suffice to say, Duke cannot be in with five losses.
No, they cannot be in with five losses. Right. No, they cannot be in with five losses. It'd be a nice, be a nice W for them. Go back, enjoy your trophy, go to a nice Florida bowl game, and our friends at James Madison and the winner of the Tulane. North Texas game are going to be jumping for joy because they're both going to get in.
Yeah. How do you see?
You can argue the substance of that too. I mean, obviously, but
how about the fact?
I think the people that are raining on the group of six teams, those Sabres, and I've heard a lot of this. I don't want to see these teams outside the Power Four. It's not their fault that the ACC screwed up.
Right.
It's not their fault that a five-loss team is playing. That's on the ACC. The ACC was horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, and Miami shouldn't have blown the games they blew. The game at SMU, they shouldn't have blown it. They blew it.
Yeah.
But and it's not that SMU isn't a good team. They are. They're an 8-4 football team. But the bottom line is, if people were smart enough, and I don't know that they are, but if you could see through the weeds a little bit at what Commissioner Petitti of the Big Ten has talked about. Now, he shouldn't have said back in the summer 24 teams. It's way too soon to start talking about 24 teams. He was trying to use this sort of Premier League thought process about teams within the conference playing off against one another and then earning their spot in what would be a 2014 field. That's just way too far in advance of what anyone from college football can in their minds cultivate at this stage. I do think with 16 teams, if you had the 4-4-2-2-1-1 format that he's been proposing, that for some reason the ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips and the Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark are not signing off on. Why aren't you? I mean, the ACC is staring at none, possibly. The Big 12, who I believe is the strongest, most balanced conference in America. I saw a lot of Big 12 games this year when not doing the Big 10. And I don't think BYU has a prayer of getting in the field unless they beat Texas Tech.
Yeah,
I think they got to win that game or they don't get in. Why wouldn't you take a guarantee of two teams if you're the ACC and the Big 12 right now? Why wouldn't you? It's a much better scenario for you.
I totally agree.
You're in and you're out.
Totally agree. Last two questions, and you'll be on your way with that flat being fixed as we speak, and I appreciate your time. So
this is now a chapter in my tell-all book when I write it. All right.
So are the conference championship games now more than just sort of irrelevant, but they're actually inconvenient to the entire postseason enterprise?
Well, given the circumstances that we've seen develop this year, yes. Yes. I don't know that that was the intention.
No.
But again, this is what, this is what happens when you allow this many people that are that clueless to be involved in your process. And when they started this thing with the selection committee, I remember when I was first told about it, Archie Manning's a dear friend of mine, and Archie had been approached about being on the committee. You know, Condoleezza Rice was on the committee. The vetting process, remember, Zaves? The vetting process was going to be unbelievable. It was going to be like, if you were a member of the committee, it was like being in the president's
Supreme
cabinet.
Supreme Court.
Okay? It was a big, big deal. I mean, it was a really big, big deal. Now, can you name more than maybe two people that you know are athletic directors are on this committee? Nobody cares. No one knows. We don't know who's in Grapevine, Texas, ordering, Oysters Rockefeller. We don't.
And we know no matter how smart that person is about college football, they're going to be like an elected member of Congress. They're going to vote for their constituents.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm here to represent my constituents.
The conference commissioners in the beginning were going to protect their championship games because they were what? Worth a lot of money.
Right.
They were worth a lot of money. The television networks paid a premium price to get those games. When the SEC came over to CBS, Roy Kramer, said to our people, hey, you're going to have to pay extra for this now. And we did.
But now you got NBC reselling their championship game for the Big Ten. Or trying to, at least. That's never a good signal about, hey, are these things actually still valuable?
Correct. Yeah. It's like anything else. It's ever-changing. It's a little bit like what we thought we understood a year ago, we find out today no longer exists. That's a dated concept. It's like the difference between, getting an email versus texting versus whatever it is we do now. That's kind of the way.
Yeah.
But the difference is no one has ever had stewardship. I've been barking from my pulpit, whether I was at ESPN, CBS, or now at Fox, you know me, Zaves, and on radio, sporting news radio, Sirius, you name it. I've been barking for a czar for college football for 30-plus years. I mean, absolutely 30-plus years. And we still need that. And why we can't get these really intelligent people that are governing college football, albeit in their little quarters of the country, to come to terms on, hey, let's find some things we can agree on. And then for a period of 3 years, Tony Petitti, you're in charge. For 3 years, Sankey, you're in charge. 3 years, you're Mark in charge. Let's do that. Let's have a democracy at work here.
Or at least a czar that is wise but firm, ruthless but benevolent. Just gets the perfect mix of, I'm going to run this thing, we're going to run it right, but it's going to be okay. Good luck finding that person.
There's got to be a final word from somebody.
Are you available, Tim? I know you're calling games now, but what is your availability?
Well, people keep telling me, especially those that are really tired of hearing and seeing me I'm in my fifth decade now, as you know, of doing this. When are you going to retire, Brandon? I'm like, well, I think I'm better now than I ever have been, and I'm having more fun than I've ever had. Honest to God, though, when it's over, and I noticed Lee Corso said, somebody asked him the other day, what was it like not doing game day? And he says, it sucks. I miss it.
Wow.
I think I'd probably be the same way. I love putting a show on the air, whether it's a football game or basketball game or whatever. But Zabes, if anyone were to ask, okay, after I said goodbye, Brando, would you like to be involved in helping to shape what could happen with the future of of college athletics, but I'd be more than happy to help. I would.
Well, good. Well, good.
Because it's been so mismanaged for so long, it wouldn't take a lot to fix it.
No.
They just don't realize that.
No.
They but just it would, don't realize
it. It would take good bodyguards, which you would need, because there'll be a lot of unhappy people. But we can work on that later on. Tim, thanks so much for your time, my friend, and we will talk again down the road.
Steve, my pleasure, always. Take care, buddy, and Happy New Year.
Coming up, he's been in the league for 11 years, in D.C. for a year and a half, and yet it took Chris Collinsworth to set us straight on how to say his name. That's next on Sports Saturday.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Jaden Daniels back at quarterback for the Commanders tomorrow in Minnesota. Marcus Mariota back to the bench in the clipboard. Yes, I said Mariota, because that's apparently the correct way to pronounce his name. This was quite the shock to many of us as we sat down last Sunday night to watch and listen to the incomparably excellent Mike Tirico and the, okay, he's fine, but not my favorite, Chris Collinsworth call the Commanders and the Broncos game, and people started hearing Mariota calling, or they started hearing Collinsworth call Mariota Mariota, putting a little punch on the ta part at the end. And many were like, why is he mispronouncing the name? And then Tirico sort of picked up on it as well. And I just remembered when Mariota was drafted, the commissioner himself, Roger Goodell, botched the name badly. Mariota was how he pronounced it. We pulled that soundbite and played it over and over through the years. But I thought we had kind of settled in on it. Now, of course, there's big differences between Mariota and Mariota. And depending on how much of a stickler you are for pronouncing guys' names exactly right, it either bothered you or it did not matter one bit. But good for I forget who asked this question, but they asked Mariota this week. Okay, so what is it?
Like, what is the right pronunciation?
Mariota.
That's our guy JP asking the question. Good for JP.
Like, what is the right pronunciation?
Mariota. I think it's been said over the years like Mariota, which is incorrect, and it's pronounced Mariota.
Mariota.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, dude.
Mariota. So Mar, you got that metal, Chris? Mar. With a little bit of a pop at the end, Mariota.
We can talk to you right after the game about Burks. Did you get?
It's like we're way into this now, and we're just learning this.
Like, what is the right pronunciation?
Mariota. I think it's been said over the years like Mariota, which is incorrect, and it's pronounced Mariota.
Mariota.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, dude.
So there you go. Look, I look at Marcus Mariota and say the Commanders have one of the better QB2s in the league. It might be the best QB2, which is sort of like being the Miss State Fair in Iowa. You're pretty, but you're not that hot. Like, I don't know how you rank QB2s. Mariota had that horrible decision on the pick near the goal line into triple coverage while he was running around like a chicken being chased in a courtyard. But for the most part, he's a solid, competent, you're not going to have a clown show backup. And I think a lot of teams would actually kill for that because they don't have a one or a two or even a three right now. But now we know it's Mariota is the correct pronunciation. Coming up, so far it's a $22 million bust. That's next. It's Sports Saturday with Steve Zabin on The Fan. Update from Jerry World, BYU drew first blood in their title game matchup against Texas Tech, a 7-0 lead thanks to L.J. Martin's touchdown run of about 12 yards. Was capped a 14-play, 90-yard drive that took up almost 7 minutes, but Texas Tech is on the board with a field goal, 7-3. BYU over Texas Tech just starting the second quarter of the Big 12 championship. Welcome back. Sports Saturday. Steve Zabin here. So far, it's been a $22 million bust. Kentucky got drilled last night by Gonzaga and booed off the court by the home faithful as they suffered their fourth loss of the year before SEC play even begins. In fact, if you go to the SEC standings in college basketball, you'll see Kentucky all the way at the bottom, just ahead of Mississippi State at 5-4. Now look, they've played some quality opponents, but this is the most expensive team ever in the NIL era in college basketball. Mark Pope had a surprising first year after they got out of the Calipari business, and they were like, okay, I think we got our guy. Now let's give him some money. Let's get him some players. And so far, it's been a disaster. The $22 million marks the most expensive college basketball program in history, and it may be more expensive than that because you don't truly know exactly how much money above and beyond the rev share that is going to basketball. But it's about $10 million more than anyone else in college hoops, and it ain't working right now. And they brought in a whole bunch of transfers and paid them a whole lot of money, and it's been a dud so far. Jaden Quintons, who came from Arizona State, making $2.5 million. Denzel Aberdeen, who came from Florida, $2 million. Jalen Lowe from Pittsburgh, $1.5 to $2 million himself. And then they kept a couple of guys that were going to go pro, including Otega Owe, who was going to go pro. He's playing for $1.5 this year. That is crazy stuff. But then again, this is what the Jay Billises of the world insisted on. We gotta pay the players. It's already pro sports. Pay the players. It's only fair. Could be a long, rough year in Lexington. Coming up, more on the Commanders and Vikings tomorrow in Minnesota. Jaden Daniels returning. And I'll talk to Bill Krakenberger, one of the all-time old-school Vegas gambling guys when it comes to sports. You're listening to Sports Saturday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.